Good afternoon. Good to see you all. Got a little wind out there today. The place is shaking a little bit, which is kind of cool. Got some weather. Weather in North Carolina. Quite amazing. Let's see. We'll put down time here to start, and that'll give us a better chance of ending on time. And we start a clock. That would help, too. There we go. Interesting reading in 1 Samuel 6 and 7 there. You know, most of what's happening in the world today, brethren, is a result of mankind living outside the bounds of God's law. Outside the bounds and protection of God's law, when you understand it. And it's also interesting to me from this reading that the Philistines could figure it out, but we can't. Quite amazing, these ancient people. We think we're so smart, Frankly, we didn't cause the present distress, and there's very little as individuals or as the Church of God that we can do about it. However, we have a hope that is common, that the common man just does not know, can't imagine in his wildest dreams. We know there's a better world coming, but we still have to live in the present world, don't we? God knows what's happening in the world, in the church, and in our lives individually. In times like these, it's especially important not to get traumatized or immobilized like we have been for the past 2 years. We should be aware, but not dwell on what we have no way of changing. Now, some people would say, why don't we participate in things political? Basically, the church and members aren't very political. You know, we're concerned about our nation, we're concerned about our communities, but we're not out there beating the drum for candidates and things like that. And you stop to think about it, we are a small group. If everyone in this place voted one particular way, you know how much effect that would have on anything that happened around here? Zero. And that's, we vote by talking to the man upstairs. He's the one that makes it work. We have more important things to do. We can't change what's out there, even though we would like to see this thing in Eastern Europe end, and we have peace again, and gasoline prices go down something less than what it was in California 4 or 5 years ago. We don't have a lot of choice, do we? But you know what? Depending on our focus and actions, we can make 2022 better for us than 2020 or 2021, which are years that we have not yet seen the results from. So today what I'd like to do with you is to explore what we can do to make 2022 a year of possibilities rather than what we've had for the past 2 years. We put a lot of things on hold, but it's time to get moving again. I have several points for each of us to consider, and at the end of each, I also have an assignment for each of us to consider implementing. The purpose of when we get up here and speak is to have you have something you can take home and make some changes, get better. That's what God wants us to do every day. So let's begin. First, we have a lot of guests today. Most of you don't know me, but I do points. So you'll have points today. If you want to take notes, please feel free. If not, just listen. There may be something in here for you, and if you can apply it, it'll be a better year for you. My first point, have a plan. Well, that's pretty obvious. Have a plan. But you know, most people don't. Most people live moment to moment, minute to minute. They get up in the morning and wonder what's going to happen. Now, I know some of you still have jobs. Got rid of mine 4 years ago. But I still have a plan every day, okay? Anything not planned is an accident. Have you ever considered that? Now, let me ask you another question. Are accidents usually positive or negative? I mean, if your wife comes home, gentlemen, and says, I had an accident, you're thinking, oh my, everyone okay? You're not thinking, oh, that's wonderful. We hit the lottery. No, it's usually negative, isn't it? And we as future leaders of God's kingdom must learn to plan our steps, not live by accident. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Anyone know who said that besides me? Well, a number of people have, but Benjamin Franklin's one of the ones given credit. He was a pretty smart guy. Instrumental in creating this country at the beginning, served this country half his life as ambassadors, making the laws, getting this country started, started the U.S. Post Office, pluses and minuses to that, but we do get the mail. In some countries, we don't. Did you know that God is a planner? God is a master planner. Let's turn over to Job 38 and verse 1. Job 38 and verse 1. Maybe you haven't noticed this. Maybe you have. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation for this scripture. Normally, like Mr. Parks, I read out of the New King James. So you'll find most of the scriptures I read will be out of the New King James. But this particular one is out of the New Living Translation. Job 38, verses 1 through 6. Then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? I'm sure glad I wasn't Job. I don't think I'd want God talking to me like that. But he had a point to make. Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. And Job probably said, yes, sir. He said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out its survey line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Brethren, God didn't just throw some mud on the wall and called it earth. He had a plan. He had a plan from the beginning. And if we are to be like him, we must learn to plan also. And it's never too early to begin. Listen up, children. You can have a plan too. Now, it has to be within the bounds of your parents and stuff and family when you're at home. But you can start with a plan. Did you know that Jesus Christ had a plan from a very early age? Let's turn over to Luke 2 and verse 40. Luke 2 and verse 40. The Bible doesn't have a lot to say about Jesus Christ's early life. He was born, and then mainly he started his ministry around age 30. But there's one or two little things they say, and one of the incidents they bring up here is in Luke 2, verse 40. Luke 2 and verse 40. And as the child grew, he became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom and with grace. The grace of God was upon him. Jesus Christ matured and grew just like all of you children. Think about that, parents, as you raise your children. How are they growing? Are they growing in grace and knowledge? Verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. Makes you wonder why the rest of the world doesn't keep it. They want to follow Jesus Christ. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, the feast and the days of unleavened bread, they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Terrible parents. Totally remiss as parents. No, not really. This is just the way things were done back then. Back then, when you traveled in a group. Why? Keep the robbers away. Remember the Good Samaritan story? He wasn't traveling in a group. Left by the side of the road. Beaten and robbed. So you traveled in a group. It's usually a family group in this case. They all went to the feast together. They walked along the road. Some rode, maybe pulled some carts. Some rode donkeys. There was a large family group. Might have been dozens of people. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So it was not uncommon for a 12-year-old boy at that time, being a young man and being very responsible, to have been out of the sight of his parents. They trusted him. He was with his relatives, they thought. He would have been fed and taken care of, and he would have been walking along with the group. But it wasn't the case, was it? Verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Think about it, parents. What would it be like if you didn't see your kid for 3 days and wondering what happened to him? We lost Christopher once in Disneyland for about 3 minutes. Yeah, he was with the security squad telling him his story when we found him. He was very happy to see us. But 3 days? Wow. What was with this child? So it was that after 3 days he found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking questions, and all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Pretty mature 12-year-old. He already had a plan. He knew what his job was going to be. Now, he started his ministry at 30, but at 12, he was thinking about it. He was making plans on what he was going to be doing. Very mature, and it shows that we can do that too, even at a very young age. And with all we plan, though, we need to make sure to ask God for his input and his blessing. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step." You know, I can't tell you how many times we've had this great idea, and God says, no, or not now, or that's a great idea, but not for you. So it's always good when you have something in your mind to put it before God, to put it before God, to lay it out and say, "God, this is what I'd like to do. I've done my research. This looks like a good way to go." And God will direct your steps. Now, you could have a very noble goal, a very wonderful thing to do, but it may not be the timing. It may not be right. Paul had this thing happen to him several times. Let me show you one time over in Acts 16 and verse 4. No one will ever argue that Paul was not doing God's work. Paul's life was to do God's work once God showed him the light, once God got his attention and got him on the right course. He was not looking out for Paul. He was looking out for the churches of God. He was growing personally and growing the churches wherever he could. So his goal to do the gospel would have been a good one. But we can see over in Acts 16 and verse 4, Acts 16 and verse 4, that he had an idea that God said, not now. "And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem." Yes, Paul was connected to Jerusalem. There was an Acts 15 conference where certain things were decided amongst the leadership in the church, and they were now out teaching this to the people. So the churches were strengthened in faith and increased in number daily. This is a time when the churches were growing rapidly, amongst the Gentiles especially, up in this area. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, that's southern Turkey today, that area, very rich in history, biblical history, both secular and religious, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, it doesn't say how this happened, but Paul had the idea of going from there, moving further east, and God said, not now. Is it a good idea to preach the gospel? Yeah, not now. Go another direction. And that's what he did. So here's an assignment. This is the assignment at the end of step one. Find some things you'd like to accomplish in 2022. Pray to God for direction and guidance in selecting them. And write them down and make a plan for how to achieve them. If it's not written down, if it doesn't have a list of specific steps with a date, you have a wish, not a plan. And wishes only come through in Disney movies. If it's not specific enough and written down, you will not accomplish it. Don't waste your time. But if you can do that, if you find something that seems worthwhile to do, write it down. Put some steps, put a date on it, and see if you can accomplish it with God's help and blessing. Now let's just look at some of the areas I consider be important as far as planning. And again, you say, why are you telling me this? Well, this is what we're doing. Okay, this is what we do. Usually this time of year, spring and fall, we take a look at what we want to accomplish. And we sit down and do this. We get our planners out. We use the old paper planners, you know, the Franklin planners. We've had them for 40 years. She likes paper. What can I say, you know? And it's much easier to read than this. And we write down and we accomplish things. And since the last 2 years have been pretty hard to accomplish much, things are opening up. For example, we're hoping to be able to travel overseas for the feast this year. That would be nice to do. Haven't been overseas in a long time. But the first area I'd like to consider, point number two, spiritual. Spiritual. I put this one first because it's most important. Let's face it. We are here, physical human beings, but we look to the next step. We look to what's coming down the road. And every day we look at the news, it looks like it's getting closer. Not going to set any dates. I don't even know if it'll be in our lifetime. You know, I learned the lesson about setting dates. We came into the church in 1971. Anybody around at that time, what was supposed to happen in 1972? Everyone was supposed to flee, right? We got in the church. We didn't know about that. We were just reading literature. They weren't saying that in the literature, but when we got in, they said, oh, boy, you're lucky you got in. You'll never have children. Well, we have two boys, close to 40 years old, so I think they were wrong, huh? So I don't set dates. All I can say is we're one day closer than we were yesterday. That's what you have to do. But you have to always be ready. Be ready like you're going to go tomorrow. Be ready like you're going to live forever. Two things to be ready for. But I put spiritual first because it's most important. We must live in the present, but we also must be actively preparing to rule with Christ when the kingdom of God rules on the earth. We must make it a goal to further educate ourselves in God's word in 2022 so that we can grow spiritually. What's not growing is dying. You know that from your garden. It works for people too. What's not growing is dying. We must grow. And conversion is a process that takes place over time. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It takes place over time. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14. Paul speaking to Timothy, saying, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Many of you have been in this church for a long time. You've heard these things from the pulpit. I have. No excuse. He said, you've heard these things for a long time, and you know the people that taught you these things were telling you the truth, because we open this book and say, read it. Read it. From that in childhood you had known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. What scriptures did they have for Timothy to read? Old Testament. You mean that Old Testament was able to make you wise for salvation? Yeah. Yeah, both old and new have those scriptures in there. How many of you read Mr. Kubik's latest letter talking about the Dead Sea Scrolls? Should read it. It's good. Dead Sea Scrolls are very significant. The one he mentions specifically is the book of Isaiah. Jesus Christ quoted from the book of Isaiah more than any other book. That's the one that's totally and completely complete from 200 BC. And that's significant in that the texts we have, the Jewish texts we have, are like 1000 AD. And some people are saying, oh, you know, they weren't really written way back then like we said. They were actually a lot newer. But that just totally shut down all the skeptics because that book was 1,200 years earlier than the 1,000 AD copies we had. And the reason we have 1,000 AD copies, not 200 BC, is that once they've renewed the copies, they would destroy the old ones. That's what the Jews did when they copied. That's how the scribes did it. But now we have something that really proves the Bible. The Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament, are also able to make us wise to salvation, not just the New Testament. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Peter 3:15. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. Interesting way of putting it. You know, we are not baptized, and then immediately we come out of the water and somebody cuts our throat and it's done. No, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the process to learn and to grow. And the Lord is very patient with us. I know He is with me. If He's with me, He will be with you also. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him, speaking of these things. In all his letters, some of his comments are hard to understand, Peter says, and those who are ignorant and unstable have twisted his letters to mean something quite different. Yes, they have. Just as they do with other parts of Scripture. And this will result in their destruction, or they will be shown the error of their way, and they will repent. Verse 17, you already know these things, dear friends, so be on guard. Then you will not be carried away by the errors of these wicked people and lose your own secure footing. Rather, you must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him, both now and forever. Amen. Assignment at the end of step two. In 2022, let's set a goal to grow closer to our Father and Jesus Christ. How would you do that? You could decide to pray more often. You could find a way to read the Scripture daily. I've given sermonettes on the Scripture reading program that we use. There's a lot of ways of doing that. Again, you can have electronic media. YouVersion is another one. It'll even read it to you if you want. Pick a translation. It'll do that. There's a lot to be said for opening a ancient text like this. It's an older technology, but it still works. But do it on a regular basis. The main thing is find a program, choose a date, and decide to start. After spiritual, what comes next? Point number three, family. I see families out here. Family was always very important to us. And most of you know some of the members of our family. They are still important to us, and they have been from the beginning. Especially since 2020, there's been a lot of stress been put on families. People have been kept apart. People in hospitals would not have visitors from their family. because of the restrictions. Been pretty rough on a lot of people. There have been a lot of suicides. I think we'll find those numbers someday, that the suicides between 20 and 21 have increased tremendously. Not out there yet, but the numbers usually lag a year or two. We know, like the rest of the world does not, that our families are the type of the God family, the family that will rule the world when the kingdom of God rules on the earth. Therefore, we must do all we can to keep our physical families healthy and vibrant. I know it's hard, parents. Invest the time now. You will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Proverbs 30, verse 18. Proverbs 30, verse 18. From the American Standard Version, Proverbs 30, verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of the eagle in the air, the way of the serpent on the rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maiden. Yes, gentlemen, we do some pretty crazy things to win that young lady over. Husbands and wives, do you remember when you were dating how careful you were to treat each other with love and respect? Stress and time can sometimes cause us to forget our first love. To the married folks or to the young ladies and young men who are dating, make an agreement to keep your relationship fresh and growing through all the years God gives you together. Love and respect are decisions, not a feeling. Now, Anna and I have been married more than 50 years. And so on our 50th anniversary, we renewed the contract for another 50. Not letting her out of it. Now, we were blessed. God put us together. I know it was because we knew nothing when we first met. And he brought us into the church, and we've had a very good marriage, and we have good kids. But it doesn't happen automatically. It takes work. It takes energy, it takes education, it takes understanding. Let's face it, we men are not real smart sometimes. We men are not real quick to learn the things we need to know. But God has plenty of instructions. Let's just look at a little bit here to get us started. And if this is an area that applies to you, this is a thing that you might want to set some goals for this year. Now, there are some of you that you're not in this category. You know, your children or you're single and you intend to be that way. You've done the marriage thing. It's done for you. I don't know. But I'm giving this because there are people in the church that have children and are newly married and are married a long time like us and still want to make a good marriage. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. It's a pretty big order because your husband is not the Lord. He is not perfect. That's a pretty big order. But God says to do it. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Pretty big order, men. We got to live up to that. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Again, love is a decision. Learn how to love your wife properly, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor wrinkle, nor any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So what's this got to do with the church? Ephesians 5 and verse 32. Ephesians 5 and verse 32. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. Our physical marriages and families are the type of Christ and the church. In this dysfunctional world, we must do all we can to have godly marriages and functional families. It's a tall order, but it's something we have to do. Here's your assignment. This year, resolve to rekindle that first love. Plan to have a standing date night with your spouse. What a concept. She would like that. I said this in another place, and our son Christopher was in the audience, and he says, "Oh, good, when you can take care of Annabelle, we can go out and have a date night." So now we do that on a pretty regular basis, and they get a chance to have a meal without constant attention to the 5-year-old. Okay? We didn't have that advantage growing up because, see, we moved out of Illinois to California, and all our relatives were back in Illinois. So we're very willing to do it for our children because we are here and we can do it. And if you don't have family around, find another couple that has children and switch for one evening. Let them have a little time off. There's some things you can do that. Dream together. Make some goals together to achieve your common dreams. A lot of times women have goals and men have goals, but as a family and as a couple, they don't. See if you find something in common you'd like to achieve. Make it a point to connect with your mom, dad, or other family members on a weekly basis. COVID was really good for this because we started contacting our son, Nate, who's still in California, and her son, Christopher, and Emily, his wife, and Annabelle, our granddaughter, and ourselves have a weekly family call. Google Meet. Doesn't cost anything, but it costs time. And you know what? It's really cool. Because little Annabelle knows Uncle Nate, you know? And she's on the phone. Being a digital age child, pretty common for her just to get on and know what to do. So we get on our computers, we see each other, we talk, we discuss anything that comes to our mind for an hour or two, whatever we feel like. Families need to communicate together. Families need to do things together. Now that the restrictions are being lifted, we can physically get together again. And that's what we need to do. And we as a church need to continue to do that. Fathers, plan one-on-one dates with your daughters. That's a good thing to do. Have daddy take the daughter out, the 5-year-old, instead of the family go out. It's nice. They like that. It builds trust. It builds strong bonds. Okay, that's the end of point 3. That's your assignment. Point 4, education, career. Let's face it, we got to work. We have to work. You know, you can start your marriage living on love, but pretty soon it takes money too. And when you get old, it's good to have a little money because you can't go out and generate it like you could before. That results because we work. The pandemic and decisions made by the federal and local governments have definitely affected careers and our ability to make a living. Some people have lost jobs. That being the case, God still instructs us to find something to do. You notice there's a lot of places where you can go and get a job. It may not be the best job in the world right now, but you need to get out there and go for it if you do not have one and you are to provide for your family. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. Second Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. For we hear that there are some who walk among you disorderly, not working at all, but are busybodies. Well, if you don't work, you got to do something. And busybody seems to be one of the things they do. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. The world would be a lot different if that were the case, because people would be busy and not out having a problem. providing for one's family and possibly extended family at some time has always been difficult, and the pandemic has made it more difficult. Many have lost their jobs through no fault of their own because someone in government decided their industry was not essential. Or because social distancing requirements. What's a person to do when that happens? Let me just give you a personal story that'll help explain this. There was a young man once, me, a long, 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 long time ago. No, another long. It was a long time. It was a long time ago in a place far, far away, okay? Who aspired to work in the space program. Young man was me. I lived in the 50s and the 60s, and at that time we had a president. His name was John F. Kennedy. Anybody heard of him? Yeah, he was pretty cool. 1961, he said in an address that we were going to go to the moon by the end of the decade. A dream was born. I said, you and me, Jack, we're going to the moon. And so I worked hard. I had aptitude in science and math, and I became an aeronautical engineer. It was not easy. They didn't give it to you in your good looks and charm. You had to work hard. But I did it. And I achieved a dream. I got to work in the space program, North American Rockwell Space Division, on the Apollo program. Remember the Apollo? Yeah. I told you it was a long time ago. And I did that for a few years, okay? But then, like all government programs, it started to wind down. And the next program was going to be the space shuttle. Now, while this was happening, I was also being called into the church. We had gotten married. We had come over to California from Illinois. And we were living in Southern California. And I was working, making very good money, and doing the best job I've ever had in my life. On the leading, bleeding edge. Nobody else I knew was doing that other than people in that program. There's a lot of pluses in that. Well, as this was winding down, the Vietnam War was also winding down, so I was not in danger of being drafted. And the next project was a space shuttle. Well, as it were, with so many government programs, it was being delayed because of funding in Congress. And my next mission was going to be to work on a fighter jet. Now think about this, coming into the church, space program was cool. Fighter jets I could not do in good conscience. But I did everything right. I had a dream, I had a goal. I was working hard. I got through engineering school, University of Illinois, aeronautical and astronautical engineering. Oh, that was cool. I always tell people I used to be a rocket scientist, you know? But what happened? I could not pursue that. I could not pursue that now. So I applied for an MBA at Long Beach State, and I applied to go to Ambassador College. We'd heard of Ambassador College by then. We were very had come into the church. We'd had our Sabbath issue and everything else worked out, and God knew that we were on his side. And we said, whichever one comes through first, that's where we'll go. Well, Ambassador College came through first. So that's where we went. And while I was there, since I wasn't independently wealthy, I needed a job. I did a lot of things until I found a job in IT. The head of the IT department was a former aeronautical engineer. He said, come on over, you can do this. I said, sure, all engineers can program. What's the big deal? And so I got into the IT field. And I spent most of my career in that field. Now I had a goal, I had a dream, but it was cut off. But I didn't look for the government to take care of me. I looked for another solution. And as a result, I worked most of my career in a field I never trained for. But it's okay, because it's still problem solving and we were able to make a good living. Wasn't as classy as a space program. Didn't get meet the astronauts in the food business, IT, doing warehouses and stores and systems and stuff like that. But it paid the bills. Professions don't last forever. We have a lot fewer blacksmiths than we had in 1776. Although there are a few out there where they have horses. But be flexible. Know first, your first order of business is to provide, and then figure out how to do it. So if your personal economy is in distress right now, it's time to take action. Don't wait for the government to fix your economy with a stimulus check. What can you do now? Go back and finish a degree if you need to. Get your MBA, you can afford it. Learn something new about your line of work, or use your current skills in a new career path, like I did. Bang on some doors. Someone will answer and give you an opportunity. If God says we should work, you can put it to Him and say, God, you said I should work. Point me in the right direction. Shine the light in the spot where I'm supposed to land. Paint him into a corner. He said, you said, God, now show me what I need to do. He will. He will. Point number five. Fitness and health. Wow. We just read recently in this country we spend twice as much on health care as any other country in the world, and we are not the healthiest. Although there are still a lot of questions about COVID-19 or all the variants, most agree that 90% of the people who are infected may not even know it and have recovered quite nicely, especially with the Omicron one, which is pretty infectious but pretty mild. In fact, we've known a lot of people have had it, and it's more mild than the flu, they say. But even removing COVID-19 from the scene, we are still a very sick nation. While years ago people died from waterborne diseases, sanitation in the modern world has fixed most of those problems. You know, get rid of the outhouse, get sewer systems, get clean water, and voila, a lot of diseases go away. If you ever go back to Boston, go to the Old North Church. Remember, one if by land, two if by sea, the Old North Church. There's a cemetery there. And if you look in that cemetery, you will find that people died between 0 and 3 at age 40 or after 80. They didn't all die at 40 like they tell you. That's an average. You know, you can do anything you want with numbers if you start doing statistics. Okay? Why did they die at age 3? Waterborne diseases, typhoid, tuberculosis, things like that that were waterborne and people died. Dysentery, they died of things like that. Why do they die at age 40? Because women used to have 8, 10, 12 kids, and then they wore out. Most of them were women. If you got past that, and you didn't get washed overboard in a storm, or get hurt in a factory that didn't have OSHA to protect you, you can live into your 80s just like you can today. Proper sewage systems, soap and water have done wonders in promoting health in modern nations. So why are we so sick? Cancer in multiple forms, autoimmune diseases, diabetes, 1, 2, and 3. Heart issues. Autism, ALS. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Dementia, Alzheimer's, all are very common today. I can only say that being an old guy like I am, when I was a child, they were not. Now, you who are young, and I see a lot of young faces out there, I see a lot of men that still have hair on their head. It's a wonderful thing. Although it was nice today, didn't get it all messed up, you know, in the wind. The food is not what we used to eat. The food is different. You realize there was a time in this country we did not have fast food? That happened in the 50s. McDonald's. No Biscuitville. No Chick-fil-A. Again, Chick-fil-A is a great company, good people. Their product is questionable. But there's so many people that live on that, and it's not good. It's not good. What happens if I put diesel fuel in a gasoline car? It doesn't work. But diesel fuel costs more. It doesn't work. Or what happens if I put gasoline in a diesel car? Same answer. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, back in the 1700s, many sailors on long voyages died of scurvy. Terrible disease. Scurvy. They had two problems. One was navigation. Sometimes they could be close to shore and they never knew it. That was fixed in the mid-1700s, 1776 approximately. You go to England, Greenwich, you'll see Harrison's clocks. Harrison's clocks. Look it up. You'll be amazed. But the other thing was, is they had no refrigeration. Scurvy is prevented by vitamin C. Vitamin C comes from fresh fruits and vegetables. Once the British discovered that vitamin C's were in citrus, citrus would keep without refrigeration for a long time, they stocked their boats with limes. That's why they were called limeys. Not a derogatory term, it's just what they were. Identifying factor. And all of a sudden, scurvy goes away. Now, don't you think this is something that might be happening today in the world with all these unmentionable diseases we have? Could it be that maybe our food is not what it used to be and we should get back to something more normal? For the last 5 or 6 decades, our food supply has been under attack. I'm not intending this sermon to be a definitive work on health and nutrition, but suffice it to say, herbicides, pesticides, excessive amounts of sugar consumption, 80 kilograms a year per person in this country. 80 kilograms a year. How many pounds is that? 176 pounds. Okay, picture a 5-pound bag of sugar. 3.5 pounds of that a week per person in this country. I don't eat that much. I don't either. Someone's eating mine. But sugar is put into a lot of things that we don't know. 6 teaspoons of sugar, 6 to 8 to 10 teaspoons of sugar in a Coke. Well, I didn't know they could dissolve that much in there. They do. Sugar causes inflammation, causes problems. Is all sugar wrong? No. But the quantities can affect it. We know that type 2 diabetes can be cured by diet and exercise. Type 1 is another story. Something else with that. And even though our bodies are quite adjustable and quite flexible in a lot of things, we pay a price in the long run. We pay a price for disease and lifespan. So, your assignment. How can you get healthier in 2022? How about adding some real food to the diet? You know, there's a lot of people that know nothing but hamburger and fries. Supersized. Not good. Not good. There are many children that do not know what a fresh fruit or vegetable is like. It's not like we don't have the money or don't have availability. We do. Add some movement to our days. Walk. Take the stairs. Take a yoga class. There are all kinds of exercise you can do, even sitting down. Jack LaLanne used to have one where you sit on a chair and do stuff. Good old Jack. 98-pound weakling at age 16 turned out to be Mr. Universe. Lived to 93 years old. we don't take care of our bodies, and they will stop working eventually, and we will pay a price. If we take care of them, we'll become healthier over time. If you are in a category where you would like to see some movement in that area, start. Start. 2022 is a good time to start. Make some goals. Make some goals. Financial, last point, financial. One of the things in 2022, or 2021 and 2022 have shown us that most people were ill-equipped to survive very long at all without a paycheck. Most of us cannot handle a $400 emergency without the use of a credit card. And since government has grown and life has gotten a lot easier in the past few decades, we have forgotten what our ancestors understood. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, this is in the New Living Translation, so you don't need to turn there unless you have one of those on your lap. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 1, send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. In other words, get out there and do something. Invest. But divide your investments among many places. Don't put it all in one spot. For you do not know what risks might lie ahead. When clouds are heavy and rains come down, whether the tree falls north or south, it stays where it falls. In other words, stuff happens. The tree will fall, especially with this wind. We're surrounded by trees in our house. I'm thinking, oh, I hope those things are well rooted. But if they're not, what do you have? Insurance? You have an emergency fund? You have ways of fixing it. You need a rainy day fund, because someday it will rain. We should earn. We should have investments. They should be diversified so we can survive disasters, man-made or natural. Do not look to the White House to solve your money problems. They have shown over a long track record that they have not a clue. They don't know. Yeah, I feel that way too. You would think they'd be smarter, but they aren't. Look to your house, not the White House, to fix the problem. What can you do? Assignment. Make a budget. Budget is not a four-letter word. Make a budget. What's a budget? It's a plan. It's a plan. Get out of debt. Build a rainy day fund. Start saving for retirement. Someday, you too will be old and need money. Save for retirement. You need help? Ask. We know several here that are financially responsible and are willing to help. Conclusion. Just one more thing. I can tell you one thing that I want you to stick with you here is don't waste time. Of all the things, Mr. Borney and I were talking about this the other day, last week in fact, one thing you can't get back if you waste it is time. Right, Brandon? We were talking about it at his house last week. Funny we should bring this up, huh? Thinking in the same lines. Don't waste time. I've seen people lose money big time. I've seen people lose health big time. And a lot of times you can recover from those when you start doing what's right and good. Just like the Israelites, when they started doing what God said, he blessed them. But time? He can add a few years to your life maybe, but once that minute is gone, it is gone. Done. Completely gone. Woulda, shoulda, coulda doesn't make any difference at that point. So start today. Find one or two of these things. Some of these things you may be fine. I don't have to worry about the spiritual side too much. We're on a program. We're learning every day. God is challenging us. We're making decisions. We're learning every day. I'm not worried about that part. But other parts in here are important to me. If you're not married, don't worry about the married thing. Just treat your parents right. That's all you have to do. Find one or two areas that I listed today and make and work to make 2022 a year of possibilities for you and those you love. Again, if you need help, ask. The leadership in this area are not your judges. We are your helpers. We are here for you. Just like God, we want you to succeed.